So the first thing you do when you set up any kind of media monitoring, whether it's newspaper clippings or social media accounts, is you need to think, what am I looking for? So the first question you need to ask yourself is, what do I care about? What am I looking for? So the first obvious word, when you put it as a search term, it's a bit like doing Google search. You need a search term to start. So the obvious one is vaccines. And then you probably want to put in words that are related to current vaccines that you have out there. So maybe vaccine, HPV. You might write Gardasil, if that's how people it's referred to, or another name, Dengvaxia. Sometimes you need to think about what the public is, what's the common word that's being used, MMR, HPV. But then you want to put all the vaccine names in your program so you pick up different things. We've created a classification of what we call sentiment, which is feeling, from categorizing tweets and other types of social media as being either promotional, supportive of vaccines, neutral, pretty much just giving information but without a judgment, pro or con. Next week there will be a campaign opening in X state, or, you know, the campaign will start on November 29th. That's neutral. It's a piece of information but not showing any opinion. And then there's ambiguous. Part of it sounds like it's positive, but then farther down the page, it starts asking questions. And we would put that in the ambiguous category. And then there's discouraging. By the time you get to the end of the post, you go, boy, do I really want to take that vaccine? So those are we've kind of created this spectrum of different types of tweets. Because one of the reason we've opened it up that way is we found positive and negative a very limiting in terms of categories. So you could have, for instance, one tweet or post saying two different things. I got the flu shot in my last pregnancy, but this time around I've read that vaccines contain mercury. My doctor says vaccines protect from the worst flu. I've seen some scary videos, though. I'm afraid what to do. So in the same tweet or in the same post, she's going through a conversation in her mind saying, well, I think they're good, but on the other hand, I saw this scary video. But it's important as a vaccine, as an immunization program, that you know these are the kinds of questions that people are thinking. So it helps to shape your messages to say, we understand some of you have concerns, but we want to reassure you that X, Y, and Z, but they can be more responsive to what publics are thinking about. And they can change, too. I mean, this is another point that seemingly innocent, some posts, they seem fine, but then someone comments on that, it goes back and forth, and it changes the tone. So we call them digital conversations, but basically the big difference now from 10 years ago is the conversational part, the back and forth, the interactions that when you did online news media monitoring, it was more about information, static, not, you couldn't respond to it in the same way. We were going to ask some, I think we were going to ask some questions about, I think this, it looks like the slides got changed to a different order. Huh. Sorry, this isn't what we gave, but I think why don't we talk about some of the, I want to shift it to the, what your experience is. We'll go into a group exercise, but I know some of the issues that have been going on in the different countries, because we have a global system for all kinds of social media monitoring, so we've been following each of your countries, and I know a number of these issues, but I want to hear from you because we know some things, but we certainly don't know others. And what have any of, can any of the country participants share an experience they had with a social media challenge, let's say? Yeah, that would be.
Okay. In Armenia, we started social media monitoring in 2016. And based on social media findings, we established working group mainly based on national CDC, on immunization department, some professionals we choose to pediatricians, to epidemiologists, to monitor the social media and discover which kind of concerns parents have or population have. Based on these concerns, we started to develop frequently asked questions and answers, and started to post in social media groups. Besides professionals from NCDC, we started to be members of social media groups, just looking what kind of questions will be asked in the groups, and rapidly to answer to that questions, just to avoid more comments, more the concerns arise. Then after that, we improved our skills. That means in the NCDC, we have at this moment a special group working mainly on social, on media monitoring, not only social, for all media monitoring, using these keywords like you said, vaccines, Gardasil, HPV, and sharing these concerns targeted departments for vaccines, mainly with immunization department. This is just to support the immunization program, to develop messages, to improve the awareness campaign, and so on.
And has it helped? I mean, was this with the specific HPV situation or more broadly? More broadly,
it's more broadly. When it comes to social media challenge, I would mention that specifically with HPV, we had a very new event. Mainly, we found that in social media, people were spreading special, so-called evidence-based, but this is actually was misinformation, evidence-based links, and starting to comment, to discuss this evidence, but this was specifically to related to HPV, and that was new for us because before that, before the HPV, we didn't face any kind of this kind of activity. Hmm. So, how we manage this situation? Again, we established a working group to address this issue, new, really evidence-based links contra this misinformation.
That's great. So, I mean, that's an example. Yeah, go ahead.
Since Uzbekistan has a kind of similar situation, I thought I could add a little bit, because we had a similar situation with HPV, which we just introduced, and as in Armenia, generally the immunization program is a success, and there's not much hesitancy on other vaccines. But with the HPV, we discovered this problem with the social media. Specifically, we have certain Facebook groups, such as moms groups, as in Georgia. But not only moms groups. We have потребители ус, which is for quality, what is it? Consumers, yeah. A group for consumers where they can report, like, poor products or something, you know. So people were writing HPV posts there. Then we have a group called Врачи Ташкент, the Doctors of Ташкент. They wrote in that group. And there's all sorts of cosmetics and beauty product groups. So there's so many Facebook groups, which was very difficult for us to monitor, you know. We have the official WHO Facebook page, UNICEF Facebook page, Ministry of Health, etc., official pages that produced content. But then my difficulty was, how do we monitor those groups, because there are thousands of them, you know, and whether or not we can comment on each post in that group, you know. Yeah. You see, there are these conversations, as you mentioned, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
I will finish and let's discuss afterwards, yeah? Also, we have this Telegram, which is similar to WhatsApp. I don't know if anybody uses Telegram other than Uzbekistan and Russia. But
a very long time ago. But
but basically, we have everybody in Uzbekistan is on Telegram. So we have groups of mothers for each school. You know, they create groups and discuss, you know, technical questions in those groups. So when the HPV issue came up, somebody spread like an audio message on Telegram, which was completely fake. You know, there was no name, like the person didn't introduce themselves. They just spread a rumor like, oh, you know, in Russia, HPV caused cancer, and, you know, doctors don't vaccinate their own children because they know it's a bad vaccine, etc., etc. So this audio message went like fire across mothers' school groups, also like channels of beauty products, etc. You know, it was extremely difficult to monitor because none of those have to deal with health, you know, or anything. So basically, my main difficulty is, how do you monitor all these numerous groups that have nothing to do with health? And how do you actually interact or not interact with them? That's probably the main problems. Yeah, thank you.
One of the things that, there's a few things that, both of you said, and we've seen this with HPV, is that you can have a really good and strong program, as in both of your cases. I think Uzbekistan and our global monitoring was one of the highest. But then for HPV, but it's a different age group. It's a different vaccine. Where it also gets different is you not only have moms, but you've teenage girls who are, so you've got whole different orbits of information going on. But the point that you just made, that it's way beyond health, is one of our is a huge challenge. We had a meeting with a number of different modelers and technical people who are working with social media and social media platforms, and we saw a map of it was basically a mega analysis of Facebook and Twitter pages. It was different platforms, a lot of green spots, which are the were the hesitant or the ambiguous ones. Blue were positive, and red were the negative. The blue, all the promotional work, was clustered like a small ball in one corner, whereas the negative sentiments were being much more resourceful and nimble, jumping on all kinds of different platforms. And basically, as the presenter summarized it, the negative intent is recruiting the ambiguous and hesitant people at a 500% faster rate than the pro people, because he said it was like the difference between a state army and an insurgency or guerrilla. It's a bad metaphor to bring in military here, but just the kind of the way it went about it. So I think that's, to me, I fully agree that you don't go and respond individually or even engage the ones who are putting that out. But by listening to what the nature of the issues are, you work that into your response. But what it does tell us is that we have to broaden our search way beyond not just looking at vaccine-related websites or posts, but really throwing the net much wider. And actually, I think it's a healthy thing in general for demand generation is immunization, more than a lot of other health areas, is much more narrow. If you take something like AIDS or a number of other health issues, they work with a whole range of different partners. I think polio, as one initiative, and Shireen knows this well, probably was the most resourceful of all the immunization campaigns in engaging a whole spectrum of partners way beyond just health. Part of that was also the nature of vaccination is a bit less complex than when you're dealing with injections, but still the nature of it. And I think the message is we need to go broader if we're going to really generate more demand and positive engagement. We should be at those, you know, on those cosmetic pages or in other places. So rather than taking it on, he's, you know, encountering that, just start showing up in some of these places with a different narrative. So there, because the problem has been, and we've seen this in reviewing hundreds of thousands of these posts, is that we don't leave our box very well. I mean, there, we need to kind of go to other spaces, and which spaces will depend on your seeing where the issues are. But you can also go to spaces where there aren't issues yet, but you start to populate them with different narratives. You also have to think of the age cohort. For HPV, we're talking about teenage girls and their mothers. Where do they go? Which is very different than mothers with infants. Were there other, yeah, thanks. Lauren.
Thanks very much. And I actually wanted to ask a follow-up question to our two country colleagues that just spoke about HPV. I didn't mention in our earlier comments that actually Lao is preparing to introduce HPV very, very soon in February. Yeah. And so we're, I think, you know, very attentively listening to your experiences. We've done quite a lot, and actually I'm reassured by the conversation that we've engaged the different communities, obviously education, because the vaccine will be delivered at schools, obstetrics and other reproductive health community members, also cancer community as well. So we've done a lot to cover that, you know, multi-stakeholder related to HPV. My question to the two other countries that have this experience with respect to social media monitoring in particular is, I assume that this is, I trust that this is an important thing to do over time. It's not just a once and done kind of thing. My question then is, you know, did you see any patterns with where you saw the most amount of chatter? Was it soon after introduction? Was it a certain period after introduction or after a particular milestone or event? Can you say anything more about, you know, the timing element of the social media monitoring with respect to what was happening with the HPV program? Thanks.
In Armenia, as I said, we started monitoring social media in 2016. And HPV vaccine was introduced in 2017. Until it was initially planned to introduce in September, then postponed to December due to some preparatory activities. We wanted to be well prepared. That is why actually was postponed. Until September, we didn't see anything related to negative posts or articles in social media or some posts in social media. It started in late September and was getting peak in October. And after that, a lot of terrible videos started to share in social media in some groups. Some parties, community members were sharing this video. Actually, it was just before introduction, 1 month before introduction. To that time, we were planning to finalize education programs, trainings, communication activities, awareness campaign, but we actually faced a new event, new activity. That is why I think in the country it was crisis. Crisis, and we didn't were prepared, ready for that crisis. So this is what I can say for Armenia.
Well, since we knew that in the region there is a lot of negative experience, including in Armenia, we also took a lot of time to prepare. And so we started with a formative research on HPV. We wanted to find out what kind of information is already in the society, what they already think. So our formative research in February actually showed that negative perceptions already existed and a lot of disinformation. So we were prepared, for negative information in the population. That's why we prepared a communication plan with lots of activities. We also worked on interdepartmental cooperation. We have numerous stakeholders being a part of the campaign. So throughout the year, basically, so we introduced it just now. It's still actually ongoing until November 30. We started on October 21st, and it's still ongoing. So throughout the year, we had numerous events with the training of healthcare professionals, training of teachers, and medical personnel at schools. And then 2 months before the introduction, we started a big communication campaign. So when we had a first press conference, which was in March, and the only reason we had it was because there was information that there will be negative, what is it called?
Resistance.
There will be something in the media. We got information that some foreign media people are planning some kind of attack, you know. So there was a press conference announcing the launch. And basically, after that, there were a lot of negative comments on the social media on this, you know, news about the press conference. So we took that into account, and then later on, as I mentioned, 2 months before the actual launch, we I was monitoring the social media throughout the year, of course. So 2 months in advance, basically, on every in every Facebook group, there were negative, you know, comments everywhere. It was like ever present. And then we, but we all had a social media campaign. So, like I mentioned, UNICEF, WHO, Ministry of Health, we all tried to populate social media with the positive, you know, content. So as time went on, like a week before the launch, we basically had those audio messages on Telegram, videos also spread out. You know, they were, I don't know who planned this informational attack, but they were very well organized. So basically what happened is that the Ministry of Health decided to activated the crisis communication plan, which we also had prepared prior to the launch. And we organized, I don't know, hundreds of face-to-face meetings with parents at schools. Basically, there were, this is in Tashkent City, I have to say, because the regions, we had no problem with it at all. It was only in the capital city where the resistance was very high. So number of schools, they literally, every parent just wrote a refusal. They said, we will not vaccinate our children. So in those schools, the Ministry of Health came with several specialists, cancer, like oncologists, gynecologists, you know, several others. So several specialists were sitting there and talking directly to parents. What questions do you have? We're here. We will answer anything you want to ask. So these, I think, were the most effective. The moment we spoke personally to them, you know, it was all clear. All the questions, all the myths, all the concerns were answered. They came up to us and said, okay, can I vaccinate children of other age? You know, can I vaccinate myself? They were all interested already. But this happened only after face-to-face interaction, you know. We also did a lot of talk shows, live talk shows on the national TV. And basically, like, the most, you know, well-known doctors were answering the questions live through SMS. And there was even a vote, you know, we did this. Then we had also a session with blogger moms, you know, those that are super active, and they, it was all basically in Q&A format, because we thought this was the most effective, because they have concerns, they want to hear answers. So we're like, okay, we're here, we're answering, you know. So with the bloggers, it was very effective as well, because they were, again, they were facing numerous specialists, and each specialist gave an answer depending on their field. And so they were sitting there, and their viewers could ask the questions live, you know, and our specialists were answering live. So it was very effective, I think. But like I told you, from my perspective, the most effective was face-to-face interaction. While they're sitting there in their Facebook groups and writing with each other, you know, there's so much negativity, so many fears, that the ones that are ambiguous, you know, they will be swayed to the negative, you know. But when they actually sit down with a specialist and hear very calm, professional answers, they feel more comfortable. And also, one more thing, that we already had the pilot in 2010. So a lot of people were, basically our main myth was about infertility, you know. So people thought that HPV causes infertility. So we brought in some of the mothers who already had received the HPV vaccine. And we said, here's the woman. She received HPV vaccine in 2010. She has a child, you know. So, and she would tell a story, you know. We even have PSAs with them, you know. So, yeah. We basically tried everything we could. And now it's a success. We have a 91% coverage rate, and it's still ongoing until the 30th of November. But it was a struggle. For 2 months, we didn't sleep, basically.
Yeah, I think it makes the important point of the power of the face-to-face and go outside of the social media. It's important for listening, but I think for the responses and in the engagement, we can never underestimate the power of the conversation to the extent you can do it. But you made another point about Tashkent City versus the rural areas. We saw also in the negative social media campaigns that were against the measles rubella effort in southern India. It was urban areas that were the most saturated with social media access that were the most challenging. And it was partly just the sheer access to all this, or access to, or the imposition by. I just want to switch over to Ghana, because that's actually one country I know well for the Ebola rumors. And we did a lot of media monitoring around the two Ebola vaccine trials that were shut down. Can you say anything about that? Because that's a different kind of thing when you have a trial or a demonstration project that by nature is already not as certain as a full-on campaign. But
okay, thank you very much. Yes, you probably have more information on the Ebola than I do. Because normally when it's a trial, it is not about EPI.
Yes,
because it sits
true.
Within some, I mean, we only get to hear of it when the media picks it up, because they have nothing to do with EPI until it is passed and is being used in the country as a vaccine. But we were also concerned, because once it's a vaccine, sometimes the repercussions may even come to cover that of the routine.
Yes.
But I'd rather prefer I cite examples from the malaria vaccine, which
okay.
EPI was actually doing.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So for the malaria vaccine, it was a pilot project, which the EPI was obviously the lead. And we're taken by surprise. A few days to the introduction, we're hit by social media. We thought we had done everything right, engaging the media, traditional media, until we're taken by surprise. Just one single person with misinformation nearly destroyed the entirety of the pilot. And we took serious view of it. Fortunately, because we had engaged the media right before the onset of the, even before the vaccines came in, we were continuously engaging the media. So on this occasion, the media was actually playing a defense. They were actually defending the vaccines, and they engaged us back, and we had to respond to most of the things. But social media, as it were, travels faster than the traditional media. So a lot of the damage was caused, and we still haven't even recovered from that, because many people took to the social media information and decided, took their own decisions. And so in the areas that we are doing the pilot, there's quite a low uptake compared to the general EPI vaccines. I think that's what I can say for now. But the Ebola one, I personally don't even have much information. All I know was that it was shut down because there's an elite group of scientists, yes, and that had picked it up. And I think they also didn't have information and thought the Ebola vaccine was a live vaccine, and that was going to introduce Ebola into the country.
Yes.
And that was what, and because it was coming from that elite scientist group, of course, the people believed them. Unfortunately, it became political, Parliament took upon themselves to also debate it, whether they had information or not. They were just talking. So by the time they realized that they had lost, and the fact that they didn't even have information, the trial itself was almost over because they had been taken to other countries. I think basically that's what I don't know whether I tried to answer your questions.
No, it's fine. I mean, I think you make a very... I'm going to show you later in the safety session a short 10-minute video. We went around and interviewed all the people and the different views around the Ebola vaccine trial just to say what can happen when you... And the equal thing could happen with another vaccine, but I think the important point that's also come up in the others is a little less with the HPV because it's kind of a distinct age and a distinct area, but the knock-on effect of a negative experience with a vaccine that may not be unrelated, the overall confidence in vaccines can drop if there's one bad experience. We see that in the Philippines. The challenges with the dengue vaccine had a serious knock-on effect with acceptance of the measles vaccine. The public was even refusing deworming medicines because they didn't trust the Ministry of Health anymore. So I think we should move on to the... Just looking at my watch here. Do you want to move to... Pauline's going to take us to the next part of...
Okay, great.
Sorry, it was probably my fault that the slides
got... Okay, great. Thank you. I mean, those were excellent examples. So it does show that some of you in the room have been monitoring the media and social media. But I wanted to, maybe for those that haven't given examples yet, have you got social media accounts and which ones? And also, what have you been using to analyze what's happening in the media? So maybe if we start with those that spoke already. So Uzbekistan. Is there a microphone? Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, what was your question again?
Yeah, so which, if your institution has social media accounts and also what platforms you use to monitor?
Yeah, we have. So basically, because this was a partner, it is a partnership, not was. So WHO has a Facebook page, UNICEF Uzbekistan has Facebook, Ministry of Health as well. Also, because Telegram is huge, as I mentioned, in Uzbekistan, basically every institution has an account. So UNICEF, MOH, and CES, the agency responsible for immunization, they also have individual official Telegram pages, channels. Instagram is also very active in Uzbekistan, but none of us have accounts there, unfortunately. And we also, actually, something I would like to ask, I thought whether or not we should have a dedicated page, Facebook or Telegram, dedicated page on HPV or immunization, where people could ask questions and actually get official information. Because the reach of each individual page might not be as significant as the reach of one of those Facebook groups, of mother groups, you know, with like 30,000 subscribers. So I wondered whether or not an individual page, very well marketed, could be effective. So,
just to respond to Uzbekistan question. Is it necessary to have a dedicated social media page? I would say in Armenia we have a special Facebook page for vaccines. It's called Everything for About Vaccines, and it is professionally administered. We have parents as admins, but also we have professionals, pediatricians, epidemiologists, and other medical society members who are responsible for that managing that group. And when comes some questions, admins, parents, they talk to professionals, mm-hmm. and they respond to that questions. Mm-hmm. This is just for Facebook group, especially for immunization. But plus to that, in Uzbekistan, we have WHO country office professional page, mm-hmm. UNICEF, MOH, all social media opportunities they use, mm-hmm. Telegram, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. NCDC also two pages in Armenian and English. Immunization special page, which has also a Facebook official page. So lot of pages, lot of. And I would add to previous session, we have a special program for social monitoring. Special program. Within that program, we are not sitting and looking every pages or every social platform. Just using this program, using keywords, mm-hmm. Special words which can pick up this content of these publications. It's easier, and two or three professionals are working on social media and sharing the analysis to relevant health departments.
Great, thank you. So if we move on to some of the other countries, so maybe for Ghana, thank you. So what different channels you're using for social media?
Yes, for now, there's a communication group that, as my colleague previously said, mm-hmm. we engage the traditional media. Mm-hmm. But there's also a group that the Director General of Ghana Health Service has just constituted to look at social media. Mm-hmm. So I've forgotten the name of the group, but it's essentially for social media. But we haven't seen any activity from them as of now. Mm-hmm. But there is a group like that.
So of what you're aware, no one's officially on Facebook or on Twitter?
No, we don't have that. But we have a website, that's not very efficient, especially in responding to some of these. Okay. So it's a social media, the WhatsApp group that does that.
Mm. Okay. Okay, and moving to the other countries. So.
For Laopedia, we have not much about social media, mm-hmm. but even we have a small, we would like to share. we just have only USB to provide to health provider mm-hmm. when they have some festival or some event, and then they just put in the computer and playing. And also now we also try to use this USB in Hmong festival, because according to root cause analysis during outbreak this year, 95% of outbreak occur with ethnic Hmong people, and we just only have a USB mm-hmm. and talk with the people. Maybe we, from this meeting, we have to think about this implementation and work with our colleague in Laos. We have to bring many things from this workshop to bring back to our country.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe I have to add. We also have the social media, but a different department from the EPI. The we call like CIS, the Information Health Central Communication. They provide and they have the network, and they work they closely with the UNICEF. The UNICEF, they have the network for the social media. I think after this, when we listen, that's really good point for us to lesson learn, and after we go back, we have to communicate with the team for the UNICEF team and also the for our colleagues from MOS. We have to sit together because they have, but we did then provide information into the media. But we have, like our colleagues from Canada said, we have the website for the EPI, mm-hmm. Facebook, yeah. Mm-hmm. Facebook, when we look at so many, but the information maybe not enough. Almost we provide the activity, what we are do, what we are done, we provide that. But for the like negative information or something, we didn't provide information, maybe we have to think. Yeah, we have Facebook for the EPI. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So moving on to Georgia.
We have social media accounts for National Center Disease Control Center and for the Ministry of Health. We have dedicated liked page for immunization, but its page is not so popular in our population. And mother's group is more popular most than our immunization like page. In general, Facebook is most popular in our country than other social accounts, and but we have accounts on Twitter also. Mm-hmm. But Facebook is the most popular social media site.
Thank you. In Vietnam?
Yeah, we have respond for the during the EFI. We have intensive communication activity. We work go through different channel. We have a call to join the very close group. That's natural, like a natural group. They reject any health intervention. Mm-hmm. So we know what they think and what they advise to other members, mm-hmm. around all. They have around 10,000 person, mm-hmm. in that very close group. And now we monitor and sometimes we give some comment. But anyway, we're not much active on that group just to understand the situation. And the second, we have our the Facebook and also other platform. We use a different platform, like some social forum. We should have contract with the journalists, mm-hmm. or some other. They work every day on those, mm-hmm. respond to the question from the community, from other member, forum member, to respond to them about vaccination schedule, on the adverse event, vaccine safety, mm-hmm. and other. And we also have a different way because the journalists, they have their own network, mm-hmm. and we share among the key person, mm-hmm. they share with other. And it's often we build the message from the key journalists, mm-hmm. and they share among them to go through the different newspaper. We work with the national TV and to share those key message to other television channel. Mm-hmm. And we do the clip. We work with the main TV, other main TV show. And of course, by the time we do a lot of clip and show, television shows, with the response from the expert, high expert, and it's often we invite the person from hospital rather than preventive sector, because the doctor, clinician, is they have a high impact on the person in the community. And we use, it's often we, every year we need to have some activity with the, some mass media company or main mass media, and we have contract with them to broadcast the key message, go through the TV or newspaper or different way, yeah, different platform, rather than we choose one. We have complicated. And every year, like this morning, my supervisor shared with you that every year we have some workshop with the journalists and share with them very key message and very simple thing, because as you know that the communication we have a most difficulty, that's the wording, because most of it is scientific. We say like a scientific and the community, they don't understand. The journalists, they don't understand. So we want to journalists, they transfer our techniques, wording, words to the common, to easy to understand and absorb those key messages.
Thank you. So that's good. We've got an indication of what the different countries use in terms of social media data. Thank you. So as Heidi was saying earlier, media monitoring is really key, and I think you've understood this, but to better understand your audience, to understand their concerns, their views, what they're talking about, and then you can focus your communications. And based on where your audience are, you can choose the right platforms to focus those communications on. And it can help you more effectively communicate. So what data is available in terms of listening to what your audience is talking about? Well, we've mentioned Twitter, so you can look at tweets and retweets, the engagement data. There's Facebook. You can look at what's being posted, the groups, but also likes and shares. There's Google Trends. This, you can look at what people are searching on Google for. And then there's the audience response to news articles as well. So you can see how the audience responds in terms of sharing, liking, commenting. And we're going to run through two with you today because we only have a specific amount of time. We thought it would be nicer to do a deep dive, so we're going to do some exercises with you on Google Trends, and then we'll briefly talk about mention as well. So what are the key issues of concern? We've been talking about these already, but we're going to look in Google Trends. And with this, you can look at hashtags as well as conversations to see how conversation is flowing. You can look at memes, how discussion changes over time into different regions, different countries. Sam, who's unfortunately not here, did some media analysis ahead of this meeting to give you a little bit of an insight. It sounds like a lot of countries are doing this already, but here, so she did some preliminary analysis to see what's going on. So, and did it for four countries. So here we have the example for Ghana. So what you can see is this is the activity over the last year to see what's happened in the last year. And what you can see is there were peaks of activity around April. And also you can see what are people using in terms of social media. So in Ghana, 78.5% was on Twitter. And then there was a little bit of Instagram, a bit of blogging, a bit of forums, 20% on news.
Sorry,
yes.
Is this negative for
them? So this is anything, yeah, anything, yeah, exactly, yes.
We try to keep it open for all, and then once we see, basically, because there's so much out there, I mean, the volume of data is so
try to get the bigger picture of the conversations, but when we see something like a spike, then we do deep dive and look at kind of the more nuanced analysis of what it's about.
Also, what we found is, so the platform we use, go ahead.
Question.
Yeah.
So if you're talking social media, where does WhatsApp fall? Is it part of this?
So I don't think WhatsApp is on here. Unfortunately, it's not publicly available, so it can't be analyzed.
Because that is what, for us as Ghana, we are concerned about.
Yeah.
That's what the tweeters and things, it's not very popular. But we do, people do that, but for us it's the WhatsApp.
Mm.
That is the biggest
That's I know that one of the big issues is that as these spaces are getting more and more closed, even Facebook is making more closed spaces, it's making it harder for the kind of understanding that we're trying to listen for. But what I find fascinating with WhatsApp, whatever, how you pronounce it, it gets mimicked in, like I mentioned, sometimes people take a photograph of a WhatsApp, put it in the newspaper, start sending it around, put it on their Facebook page. There's this kind of domino effect of how it spreads around. And I guess the important thing is when it gets out of those private groups, that's when it starts to cause trouble. So I think the thing is to look at, you know, when it jumps, and you can catch it, that's when. But ideally, you can pick it up because of... that's why you need other forms of listening. Yeah.
So you may be able to hear the same concerns in Twitter or on the forums. So here we did a tag cloud, word cloud, to see what are the keywords being discussed on this social media in Ghana. So the keywords you can see were health, children, world, but measles, malaria, Ebola. And then here we looked at the regions. So Accra's got the highest amount of content. And then Kumasi, Tema. And here we looked at, you can do deeper dives, so find out which vaccines are being talked about, what vaccine-preventable diseases. So in Ghana over the last year, so the red, sorry for the small print, is the malaria vaccine, yellow's the Ebola virus, the disease, and green's the vaccine, and then MMR vaccine as well is being discussed. And then you can look at the regions by vaccine as well to see who's talking about what where as well. So you can do those deeper dives. And here what we're seeing, you can see, so the red is the malaria vaccine and the yellows, they're discussing the Ebola. And then Sam did this as well for Georgia. So in Georgia, it was mostly Twitter, 95.3%, a little bit of news, a small bit of forums and blogs as well. It's relatively even throughout the year with a few peaks. And in terms of the keywords, so children, kids, santé, but in terms of the vaccine-preventable diseases, measles, polio, and flu. And here, most of the posts were in Tbilisi. And here, it's not showing as much of a clear signal, but there's some discussion. So blue's MMR, red's measles, green's flu vaccine. I wonder if, Georgia, you could discuss a reflection of what we're seeing, if it's what you thought it was, or if you had a different example.
Why MMR
more than others? Yeah. I hear.
Because of outbreak in our country, and we have not a negative history about measles vaccination in the past year, so it was important in this new outbreak, and I think it's the reason because of measles.
And this shows the episodes in Tbilisi, it's discussed. And then moving on to, so for Uzbekistan, so not so strong on Twitter, but 43%, but 53% on forums, a little bit on the blogs, at Instagram and news. And here, in terms of the word cloud, so kids, vaccines, but in terms of the vaccine-preventable diseases, measles, HPV.
Sorry,
So it was a very simple vaccines, the English search term, but it will pick up non-English language, but the search term was in English.
I just wonder how it works because the prevalent language in Uzbekistan is Uzbek, but also a lot of Russian-speaking debates are happening. So I wonder if it would reflect both or we would need to do search for
two
different languages.
What we've done is we've done some in-depth analysis we've got a grant specifically doing media monitoring on vaccines in pregnancy in 15 countries. And this is what Sam's major work is. And for that, we have been changing the search terms by country, talking to countries, adjusting it based on what we're finding as well. But this was more to give you a flavor of what can be done and what is happening, but it's not an in-depth analysis. Yeah. So here it's Tashkent and Samarkand. And in terms of which diseases, so you can see measles and HPV. And then these are the regions that discussing measles. And moving on to our next example for Vietnam, as you can see here, so 60% on news, 13.8% forums, 22.9% Twitter. So it's a different channels of communication, and there was a bit of a peak in April as well, but a small peak. And here, so I won't be able to tell you what these are. So these were in Vietnamese. Yes. Perhaps you could translate? The big ones, yeah. Are you able to tell us? Thank you.
Yeah, they mentioned about different word, but they mentioned about the detection, diagnosis, prevention, immunization. The disease on some word I cannot understand.
So interesting. It's less it's less disease specific.
City and vaccination, detection, prevention, and immunization safety. Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
Okay, great, thank you.
The first time we saw this one.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll share it with you so you can, yeah. Great. So it's interesting, it's less specific on the diseases and more prevention, detection, and some concern around safety. And then, so with Vietnam, there were these hashtags that have been retweeted a lot. So and sometimes hashtags, you can think that it's a positive message, but people will relay a negative message to those hashtags. But the most common here were hashtag vaccines work, hashtag BB master stop social. So you can see and you can look into a bit more detail about how these are spreading and changing. And if you do further analysis, you can look at the sentiment, whether these are negative or positive or ambiguous. Yeah, and then in terms of location, so Ho Chi Minh City, Hanoi, Hoi An. Yeah. And then here in terms of the disease, it is more about measles, and then a little on HPV as well. Yeah. Does that make sense based on what you're seeing? No.
That was because you know that. The word they're searching for is based on the trending of the disease recently. Mm-hmm. You can see the measles because we have nationwide the measles endemic last 2 years. Mm. And you can see a lot of message, like I have said with you, that it comes from Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City. That's the biggest city and urban area with growing urbanization. So you can see In the Google or other network, you can see it's most come from the urban area rather than rural.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah, no, you can see all the main location is come from the big city.
Okay.
and urbanization rather than in rural.
Yeah. So this helps to know, okay, what messages are being spread and talked about and where are they coming from, so then you can understand where to target as well.
Yeah, but a little bit crazy, a little bit surprised me because Twitter is not popular in Vietnam, but in the previous, in your previous slide, it shows that most come from the news, is right? But for the Twitter, is the second one, so it's a little bit surprised me because I saw many people, or most people, they use Facebook.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know, maybe the negative. You mean, what is the you search for that is negative?
So this isn't negative, this is any discussion about. So potentially most of the Twitter discussions are positive, potentially.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. So here we are. Yes, and this is showing it. So about measles, where the conversations are. Right, so moving on to Google Trends, this is where we'll get you to have a search, do a bit of a deeper dive for your interests in your countries. So what we'll do is, with Google Trends, you're looking at where people are searching. So when someone goes into Google, puts vaccines, puts HPV, if a lot of people do that, that's when you'll see a peak. That's when lots of people are doing those searches. So it can give you an indication of people's concerns or what they want to find out more about. So yes, so if we get the laptops out and you have a look at this URL, if you type this in, and we're here to help as well. We have facilitators around the room. So if you put into the URL, https://trends.google.com, and what we'd like you to do is, it seems like an appropriate disease to start with, let's put measles and then put other vaccine preventable diseases that are of interest in your country. You can add an extra one, so you will type to compare. So you first of all put measles and then you'll put your country. We'll keep these slides up and you'll have a facilitator, but I'll just run through it very quickly. And then what you do is, in the compare, you can put a different disease there. Here we put measles disease, but you could put Ebola, flu. So have a play. We'll walk around the room and then we can discuss what you've found. Yeah. This one. Great. You can try. Feel free to. This is your chance to experiment. Yeah, exactly.